Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Welcome to Posh Across the Pond, a Peterborough United podcast presented by the Yellow Block. I'm your host, Pete Urich, and today I'm joined by a very special Posh fan from my life. It's a little bit late or a little bit early for Father's Day, depending on how you want to look at it, but ultimately today my guest for the show is Luke Urich, my son, who I have tried over the years to indoctrinate as a Posh fan. So, Luke, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Okay. I wore my jersey today. So, I wanted to be.
You wanted to represent
dressed appropriately.
Dressed appropriately. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we're mainly going to talk about. It's going to have Posh as an underpinning thing, but it's more going to be general stuff about, like, you know, your opinions and your thoughts on being a soccer fan here in the U.S. Obviously, you and I have a very different experience of how, like, soccer has gotten more popular, your ability to watch it on a Saturday and all of that stuff. So we'll kind of, you know, interweave, like, the Posh experience with general soccer stuff. I think that a little bit of background information is helpful. You know, obviously, there's a link of Peterborough United that comes from me, but, like, what are your links to the Peterborough United and the team and the club?
Well, I would say my links to, I have many links. I wore a ton of jerseys when I was, like, a toddler because I wore them a lot. I've seen there's many pictures of me in a Peterborough United jersey, and like, 4 years ago, I think it is now, I went to a game against Sunderland in April, and that was really great. I loved the atmosphere, and, like, I had a great time, so that was awesome. So those are really my connections.
Right. Yeah, and so, you know, obviously, we went on that trip. That was, I think it was closer to 5 years ago now. It was before we moved to Virginia, so, yeah. You know, that was your first time to England, having that experience of going to, we went to two live matches, and we're going to hope that the Yellow Block supporters or the listeners don't hold it against you. You are actually what fan?
I'm an Everton fan. I've got a flag back there. Yeah, it's a rough life that I lead as an Everton fan, but we keep on pushing through. It's an experience.
Yep. So we went to the Everton match to see them play against Manchester United, and that was actually a great experience.
Yeah, it was one of the best moments of my life, beating Man United 4-0. That was amazing. And
yeah, as a first time going to a match in England, that was probably, you know, about the best that you could possibly hope for in the way of an experience for a fan. So, you know, how did that whole entire thing come about? Like, you talk about it just a little bit.
Well, the trip started, I think we were on some sort of road trip or something like that to like one of my sister's like hockey tournaments or something like that. And then I don't know how we got to it. It was me and you in the car and we were just talking, and like the whole idea of like going to England came up, and like we ended up talking about it for hours. I was like 12 years old or something like that, and it ended up materializing like a year later. So that was great. Yeah.
Yep. And so obviously we traveled to England, and we ended up in Liverpool. And what was the experience of, like, you know, walking around in a new country, soccer/football being the major sport? Like, how was that experience for you?
It was definitely a culture shock. Like, I definitely remember seeing a lot more kids in like full kits than like you would definitely see a lot less of that in the United States. But yeah, it was great. Like, I loved seeing like the new experience and everything, and it was awesome. Yeah.
Yep. And going to the stadium, going to see the match and everything like that. What was your favorite part about like that Saturday experience of, I believe the game was Saturday, correct? Yes.
Yeah.
That game was Saturday, because the other one was on Sunday or Monday. I forget. But anyway, you know, that Saturday experience, what was that like, going to a match, walking to the streets to get to the match and everything like that?
I thought it was very interesting how like built in like the club is into the community, like how like close like the stadium is to like a bunch of neighborhoods and everything, and how like Goodison Park and like Anfield are extremely close to each other. That was like a big culture shock for me, like, because like with our NFL teams and like MLS teams, the stadiums are like miles and miles apart, but this was like a short walk, so we got to see like both in like the span of like a half an hour, maybe probably less than that. And and going to the game, like, Goodison Park is an old stadium, and I've never been in a stadium that old, but like it just has a vibe about it that I really liked, even though like you had to like squeeze through the turnstiles and everything, and it was just a beautiful, it's a shame they're tearing it down, but I'm excited for the new stadium, but it's truly a beautiful place.
Cool. And obviously, like, you and I had been season ticket holders for the Red Bulls for years in New Jersey. I don't even remember how many years we did it, at least five, probably more than that. But like, how do those two experiences, like, you know, compare in any way, shape or form? I mean, is there really no comparison, or is there like similarities that you see between the two experiences?
It's hard to compare them, really, because I feel like with the MLS, it's a lot more like, I don't want to like
you don't need to worry about hurting anybody's feelings.
Yeah. It's like you just can't compare the two, like a Premier League match and an MLS match. Like, the Premier League, like the atmosphere at Goodison Park was amazing. Like, I don't think I've ever been in a place so loud before. Like, you just never see that at Red Bull Arena. And like, you, like Red Bull Arena, like we have a great, like Red Bulls, we have great fans, but like nowhere near like the level of support and the level of like loudness that Goodison Park like had.
So. Yeah. Awesome. And obviously, you know, the result couldn't have gone any better for your team that day. You know, obviously couldn't have gotten much better in the way of a result. Can you talk a little bit, and I'm interested because we've never really talked about this, like your thoughts on the experience that we had post-match, because we had to leave the game and basically get directly onto a train with a whole bunch of Manchester United fans. What were your thoughts about that whole entire thing? You know, how was that a culture shock and everything like that?
I thought it was a funny experience because I remember you told me to take off my jersey because I had on, I don't remember whose jersey. I didn't have any player's jersey on, but I had my Everton jersey on to the game, and you told me to take it off. And all I remember really from the train ride was just me being like, my eyes were shut. I was trying to go to sleep. And then there were two Manchester United fans just like in utter rage about the situation that happened, because like, You never see that, Everton beating a team 4-0, especially a team like that prestigious. Well, we're prestigious too, but I haven't had like that good of a result in like forever. So
awesome. So You know, we get into Peterborough. Obviously, the trip was a little bit, it was about half you, half me. You and I going to the Everton match was definitely for your side of things. And then for my side of things, we were going to the Peterborough versus Sunderland match. Do you have any memories about, like, you know, going to the city, going to the match, anything like really stand out?
I definitely remember walking around the city. I can't really put like my finger on much about that, but I definitely remember the stadium. It's a great atmosphere. Like, I remember going into it, cause I think at the time, like, I just whatever team you supported, I just wanted to go against completely. And like, I went into it with a very negative mindset. Like, it was going to be still a fun game, but like, I didn't really have a team that I was rooting for. And like, I was just there. By the end of it, I was rooting for Peterborough the whole way. Like, the atmosphere was amazing. And I definitely remember getting a few come on Burrows in there at the end. It was a super close game. It was 1-1 and like, went right down to the wire. So it was just an awesome experience.
Yep. And like, from my perspective, it was, you know, obviously with the late goal being scored by Matty Godden and stuff, it was an excitement that like, I almost felt like I was going to pass out from the excitement. And I'm like, wait a minute, I got to calm myself down, because I've got my 12-year-old son with me that if I pass out, you have to take care of me. And that's just not okay. I mean, you had done a good enough job on the tube stations, like making sure we didn't get lost and stuff like that. But
that was fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, obviously you and I have a very different, we're 30 years apart, almost exactly. And you and I have had a very different experience of being a football or soccer fan here in the United States. Like, what's it like for you growing up in an era where like you can actually watch games of the Premier League and you've got MLS as an actual league? Like, these are all kinds of things that I didn't have as a young person. You know, 1994 was the World Cup was here. And then 2 years later, we had MLS start. So like my entire childhood, like you're 17 years old right now. When I was 17 years old, none of this stuff existed. So, you know, talk to me a little bit about like, how do you view the soccer world, the football world in your experience so far?
Well, I think it's just awesome being able to see like with Peacock that we have, like the streaming service, NBC, like that they cover all of the Premier League games. And like, I with like a couple clicks of a button, I can watch any Premier League game I want. And it's just like, it's really easy to access now. And I can't imagine it being like that, like it being that easy to access like in the past. But yeah, I think it's really soccer or football in general has really come a long way here in the States. And like, I'm here for it. Like, I hope the MLS grows, because like I used to be a diehard Red Bulls fan, but like it's hard for me to like watch games now, just like not even being there. So
yeah, it's definitely, you know, one of those things that I with our move to Virginia, it's one thing that I miss a bunch, that like you and I went to a lot of games together. You know, we never made it to every single game of an entire season, but we definitely went to more than half for sure of the home games. And it was a good experience, like just having that available to us within an hour's drive and everything like that. And it was, you know, for me at least, good bonding experience with my son. So yeah. And then, you know, obviously I have my own, I've been a Posh fan since before you were born and everything like that, but, and it kind of happened randomly, you know. How do you think, that your age group views the lower leagues and stuff like that? And how have things like the FIFA video game and Welcome to Wrexham and stuff like that, how aware are the kids in your like age group about like lower leagues, you know, below the premiership? Like, is there a lot of attention that's paid, or is it kind of like the Premier League, mainly the top four, and that's about it?
With most of my friends, and like I don't know everybody who's my age, but like in my like friend group who watches like the Premier League, like me and my friend Ethan, like we know like a decent amount about the lower leagues, like obviously like their names and like the teams that are in them. But like, usually it doesn't go that far beyond that. Like, we're usually pretty aware of what's going on. Like, once in a while, like, if I'm just like bored, I'll check like the tables down there. But like, I'm never really rooting for a team because, like, obviously I have Everton and like, yeah, the Red Bulls, I guess. But yeah, like, we usually have a good general idea of what's going on. And I always like to watch the playoff games and like the playoff finals and stuff like that. Those games are always really good. And I like to watch them on usually it's ESPN Plus now, I think. So
yeah. And like, you know, obviously with the access that you have, like, you know, you have the ability to, you know, watch any premiership game or whatever, you know, is there a, let me back up a second. Like, are most of your friends and people that, you know, fans of top four teams, or is it spread out throughout the EPL, or?
It's usually top four, if you even want to call Chelsea top four at the moment. But yeah, I've got a lot of friends who are Chelsea fans. I've got some Liverpool fans, which obviously is an Everton fan. I hate that. But Man United, Arsenal, like, usually it doesn't really like leave that like top five teams. Like, I'm really the only one who's like kind of like Everton is like is an extremely prestigious club. Like, maybe not at the moment, but like, we have an amazing history and like, we've never been relegated before and stuff like that. But like, I'm really the only one who has like a team that's like outside of like that top five, like, status.
Gotcha. Yeah. So basically there's, you know, kind of a safety that comes along with their fandom. They're not going anywhere. And like, mm-hmm. you know, obviously the Man City fans, you know, have the easiest thing in the world. It's, you know, you just show up and Pep does his thing and creates another championship. So
yeah, I tend not to surround myself with City fans. So yeah, I don't have any. I don't think anybody in my school even is a City fan. But yeah.
Yes, you do have one, David.
David Toll?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, but you know, there are some Man City fans around. They do exist, but so. Having said that, the reason why that came up is, like, you know, with that mentality of like, you know, you're going to be a top five. That's, I'm sure that most of the kids who are picking out a team, they're doing it for that safety factor. It's easier to be a fan of a team that, you know, is going to win all the time, as opposed to, you know, somebody like yourself who has chosen a team that it's not always a guarantee. You know, can you go back into that a little bit? Like, you've stayed pretty faithful to Everton, despite them being a bit of a disappointment over the past few years. Like, how did you get to be an Everton fan, and why have you stuck with it?
Well, I think anybody who knows FIFA, who's played FIFA 17, knows about the journey. Like, there's like this whole like Alex Hunter, like, he's an English he's like a striker. And like, at one point, like, and he makes it to the Premier League and everything. And at one point you get to pick, like, out of the 20 Premier League teams that you want him to play for. And at the time I was playing that and I didn't have a team. I was only a Red Bulls fan. So like, the whole thing is like, your decision is based on like, if you choose a big team, like, they're obviously good, but you're not going to get a lot of minutes. But like, and if you play for a bad team, like, you're going to get a lot of minutes, but, they're obviously like not as good. But if you choose like in the middle, then like, you still got a good team and you will get the minutes. And Everton was one of those teams in that selection that it said. And also I'd watched games from them before. And also I remember having a conversation with you, cause like, and telling you, I wanted to get into English football. And I used to be a Manchester United fan when I was like 8 or 9 years old. I don't even remember how old I was. I think the only players I knew on the team were Rooney and Van Persie, and that was it. But I remember like talking about maybe being a Man United fan again, and you were like, no, you've got to like you can't, or you weren't like, no, but like, you can go like and pick that safe team, but like, you're like, if something good happens, then it's just going to feel normal. But if you go a little bit lower, like a little middle of the road team, then when you hit that success, it feels that much better, which is true. But I haven't felt that much of that as an Everton fan so far. But hopefully...
So I undercut your legs a little bit.
Look, I love it and hate it, so it's fine.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. It's where, like, you know, for me, and I don't know how it goes for you know, the English fans who actually live it day in and day out. But, you know, like, for me, the experience of being a Peterborough United fan is great because of the fact that we're not guaranteed success. We're a small club. We're always right on that verge of League One and getting promotion, or we're in the Championship and we're fighting against relegation. And those are, you know, although gut wrenching at times and things like that, it's way more exciting than, you know, being a top tier Premier League club, like, you know, again, a Liverpool or a Chelsea. You know, you made the joke earlier of, you know, okay, well, Chelsea's been down for a few years and now it's, well, that's huge disappointment, as opposed to, you know, the excitement that comes along with, oh, we're in the top four. That's great. As opposed to the expectation being, hey, we're going to be in the top four every single year. You know, the team that I have a tendency, although, you know, my association with you and the Everton thing, like, that's a partial piece of my fandom. But usually when it comes to the Premier League, I pay attention to Fulham because of all the American players who've gone through there and everything like that. And again, that's an excitement thing of, you know, they're usually at the top of the Championship or, you know, fighting for their life near the bottom of the EPL, although it's been a little bit different recently. But, you know, overall, that's an exciting existence, as opposed to, you know, just, hey, we're going to be in the top four. And if we're not in the top four, then my life's a big, huge disappointment.
I agree with that.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask the kind of selfish question, but it goes along with, like, a bigger question of, like, so what can I and or the club or anybody else do to get in a younger American fan base? Because this whole entire podcast, Posh Across the Pond, is in order to, like, hopefully breed a little bit of fandom here in the United States for Peterborough United. Obviously, being a League One club, you know, we're at that a level above where Wrexham is, for example, and Wrexham is getting all of the attention because of the fact that, you know, they've got the the millionaire owners and all the attention of the TV show and everything like that. But there's a wave that can come through that of, you know, as you've got fans that are going to follow the TV show, you've also got people who, like, don't want to follow the herd that everybody else is, you know, and that's, I think, an opportunity for Peterborough United and some of the other lower league clubs to get fans here in the United States. So what would need to happen in order to finally make you a Peterborough United fan, or, you know, anybody in your demo of, you know, a teenager / early 20s?
Well, that's a tough question. Like, I don't think you would want to go, or the club would want to go, like, the Wrexham route and have, like, the American owners, because, like, I know that there's a negative sentiment for American owners at the moment, especially with Manchester United and the Glazers and stuff like that. And, like, yeah, I don't think that would work very well, but I feel like you just need someone, like, charismatic that'll, like, I don't know if that's an owner or, like, a player or a coach that will, like, really like reach people my age, I guess, and stuff like that, and be like, oh, I like that guy. Let me pay attention to that team. But I think that's very important because you can have like two very charismatic people in Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, and they do a really good job over there. So like, I think that would be your best bet with that. But I'm really not sure other than that. Like, it's a hard for such a small club to do like such large outreach, especially to the United States where we have NFL teams and all these other sports.
Yeah. And even though I have, you know, tried to indoctrinate you since birth, I think one of the first pictures of you after you got home from the hospital is in a Peterborough United kit, and there's articles and everything like that. It still just hasn't worked yet, but but I'm going to keep trying, you know.
I mean, I've got the jersey on now. Look at that.
And you wear it semi-regularly, so, you know.
Not ashamed.
Yes, exactly. And all of the questions that I ask about, I do trivia questions at the beginning of soccer practice when we're playing and stuff like that. And they're almost always Peterborough United related. And you usually know them, or for some reason, Ethan and Case seem to get it now.
Yeah. I don't know if Case is just guessing. I never know the scores. That's the thing. I need to keep up with the scores more so I can get those questions right.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that I'm trying to do is, you know, indoctrinate some of the players. You know, when you were little, we were originally supposed to take a trip to England very similarly at the school. And it got canceled due to the Heathrow terror scare. But that was like my first trip after that whole entire thing went away. When you were really little, I went over to the to my first match. And, you know, that's something that I want to try and do again is bring a bunch of players to the UK and do a little bit of, you know, sightseeing, but also like go to a smaller club like Peterborough United. You know, you can go to a Manchester United or a Chelsea and do a visitation there, but they're not really paying much attention to you as opposed to, you know, Peterborough, who like the owners kind of know who I am and stuff like that. And it makes for a much more, you know, personalized type of thing. So, so definitely. Well, Luke, it was awesome having you on. Obviously for selfish reasons, at bare minimum, I enjoy, you know, getting to talk soccer with you whenever possible. And then again, trying to indoctrinate you a little bit. Recent results have, you know, been some good, some bad. We just won our match yesterday 2-0, and, you know, it actually looked pretty good. Joey Barton, who's Bristol Rovers manager, was not happy. He said that we were in an inferior team. And
jeez.
But we were able to win, so that's the main thing. And then we unfortunately had a tie in a recent match where you know we just had 10 men. They had 10 men. We should have come up with the win, but just didn't. So it, you know, the project at the moment of Peterborough United is we've got all these young players who were trying to build into a winning squad rather than, like, you know, going with a lot of the older players that we've done in the past. Johnson Clark Harris is the one player who his move didn't break through over the transfer window. He was supposed to move to Bristol Rovers, and they missed the deadline by 50 seconds. Wow. And that's another thing, like, you know, transfers and stuff like that. Is that something that you pay attention to with your friends? Like when the transfer window is opening or open and you're getting near deadline day, is that something that you guys have a tendency to, like, actually, you know, follow who's going where and what's going on?
Yeah, we definitely follow that. Like, I don't know if you know of him, but Fabrizio Romano is a very big figure. And like, I follow him on Instagram, and like, I always like check his Twitter and stuff like that to see where people are going. Like, I don't know, like, he like rarely covers Everton moves. So like, sometimes I go to the Liverpool Echoes website, and they've got a lot of information on there during the transfer windows. Yeah, I enjoy checking that stuff. So it's definitely something I do often during the summer and in January.
Gotcha. And, you know, as you're as you're looking at, you know, players who are on the rise and stuff like that, again, like that education of the lower leagues, you know, knowing that you're getting a player from, you know, whatever club, like, you know, when Ivan Toney made the move from Peterborough to Brentford, and now like there's talk of him making a maneuver someplace else after his suspension is over, you know, again, those are the types of things that like you actually understand where like these players are coming from and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's for me looking at it from a 30 year beyond perspective, it's like, it's amazing that you guys have the amount of information and education on like, you know, the different clubs and everything like that. And, you know, things that I didn't even know existed back when I was your age. Yeah. Like I knew about Liverpool and Manchester United. And I think those were the only two clubs. And the only reason I knew that is because of these old videos that we used to watch that were on VHS tapes. Mm. But, you know, definitely a lot more information is out there. It's fun to see you guys like actually wearing your jerseys, talking smack to each other about how your teams did over the weekend and everything. How did Everton do this weekend?
I was going to get to that. That's why I'm actually not wearing my jersey at the moment. We just lost 2-1 to Luton Town, and they got their first victory of the season, and not looking good. Like
was it away at Luton Town or home?
It was home. It was home.
Funny to think that the year before, Peterborough were playing against Luton Town in the Championship, and now they're playing against teams like Everton and things like that. Yeah.
Well, I hope they stay up because they're so small, and like they're like the stadium is so small, and I find that very intriguing. So I'm happy to give them the 3 points as long as to help them stay up as long as we don't go down either. But yeah. I'd rather it be another team.
Yeah, it's definitely not a guarantee by any stretch. Everton seemed to want to make it interesting.
Yeah, like last year, like that amazing Abdoulaye Doucouré goal kept us up. In like the last second against Bournemouth, or like, it wasn't the last second, but like the last game against Bournemouth, actually bought his jersey after that. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And, the American invasion, what do you think of that? Like, obviously, it's changed a little bit because of Leeds, getting relegated, but, you know, players like one of your favorites from the Red Bull days, Tyler Adams and things like that, getting experience in the Premier League, how has that affected your fandom, et cetera?
Well, it's definitely like, I've been watching Tyler Adams since like forever ago. And like, it's awesome to see him succeed. Like, I know he's kind of going through an injury right now, and like, he's not really playing at the moment, but like, it's great to see those guys go to the Premier League and like the Bundesliga, like Pulisic's in Serie A right now. And, yeah, like I like the American invasion from player standpoint, not so much an ownership standpoint. Like I feel like we should just kind of like stick to our thing and like let everybody else do, like, because soccer is or football is definitely not our specialty at the moment. So
yeah, but then you wouldn't have the whole welcome to Wrexham thing. Is that the American way to like go lower league and build upward rather than buying into, you know, the already established Premier League teams?
But I feel like the Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney with Wrexham is a completely different situation. Like those two are extremely invested and like in how the club is doing. And obviously with how like small it is, it's like they do great outreach and stuff like that. But like, with like the Glazers and like these like billionaires, I don't think the like their intentions are the same as like Ryan Reynolds and McElhenney. So I think like if an American is truly going to be invested in the club, then by all means they should like buy it and like put like work into it. But like I don't like the idea of Americans just buying clubs like for the sake of having assets. So.
like LeBron James and et cetera being involved in Liverpool and all that.
His role, I think, is a lot more minuscule than like the Glazers and like I keep saying them, but like those are the only ones I remember. But
Well, I mean, a lot of the other ones are conglomerates of a group of people. You know, the guys who own the San Francisco 49ers and the ones who own the Boston Red Sox and stuff like that. Those are all like, you know, groups of people rather than just, you know, one family like the Glazers. The Glazers are an easy target.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, Luke, thank you so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun for me, at least, to, you know, get a chance to chat a little bit about football and try and indoctrinate you a little bit more to the Peterborough United fan base.
All right. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for having me. I had a really good time. This was fun.
Yep. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening to this episode of Posh Across the Pond. Thanks, Luke, for joining us. If you're a Posh fan abroad, we'd love to hear from you. Visit our website and get in touch. Follow us on the socials or visit our website, www.theyellowblock.co.uk. Up the Posh.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.